Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the sun and fun capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is ScaryCast. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and we're glad to be with you tonight. We've got a great show lined up, got a great cast of characters and crew, and so without any further ado, I don't like that ado. Let's get going. First of all, our Surgeon General from the Midlands of South Carolina, Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
I'm doing fine, John. Nice day in South Carolina. Wasn't nearly as hot. It was nice.
It really was. In fact, it was kind of cool this morning. It's one of those very rare cool days in the middle of the summer. It's probably going to get to 120 next week. Who knows?
But
anyway,
no doubt.
We're glad to have you. And from Houston, Texas, Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
I'm also pretty good, man. I think we stole some of your guys' heat over here. It was over 100.
You can keep
it.
Just keep it as long
keep
as you
it.
Want.
That's exactly right. So, and tonight, she's the queen of ScaryCast. She would normally be a co-host, but she's our guest tonight because she always has such interesting things to talk about. The one and only Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am good. Glad to be back. I missed everybody.
We missed you.
We're happy to have you back, Rob.
Yes, we are glad to have you back. And the reason you're not a co-host tonight is you're our guest. You have been out and about in the world doing great things. You've been working on a documentary. You've been out in the woods in Michigan. Oh, my goodness. Tell us what you have been doing. We can't wait to hear it.
Well, I can't tell you everything about it because it's not my movie, and I'm in it, but I can't tell you all about it. But I was asked by a good friend of mine to come to Michigan to go out in the woods with him and just, you know, watch, see what happens when I go out when the Bigfoot are around. And we were going to do this last summer. I did a conference in Michigan, and we were going to do this after the conference, and a bunch of people did go out, and they filmed it. The producer's name is Jason Kenzie. Super, super sweet guy. Like, just really, really kind, very, very nice. He's got some great documentaries already out. And I did not know him. I just knew my friend said, hey, we're going to, you know, do this documentary. You were supposed to be in it last year, and you didn't. Would you do it this year? And I said, yeah, I will. And he said, well, you only got to be interviewed for 15 minutes, and then they'll cut it down to about a minute to 2 minutes. And I said, okay, no, that's fine with me. You know, I only did it because of him. It was for him. And a friend of mine actually met Jason, and I didn't know that he was the one that was working on this project. I never asked. Like I said, I was going strictly to go out in the woods with a friend of mine and do some research, and then he had asked me to do this on the side. And my friend called me and said, oh, I met this, you know, this TV producer, and he does Bigfoot stuff, and I gave him your name because I think it would be great, you know, you could maybe work with them. And I said, well, you know, you didn't have to do that, trust me, you know, it's not a big deal. She said, oh, no, it'll be fun. So meanwhile, he gets hold of me and he calls me. And we're just talking, you know, and he's asking me a little bit about my background and everything. And he said, I said something about my name. He said, well, are you going to be around in June? And I said, I am, but I'm not going to be here. I'm going to, because he was talking about coming to South Carolina for your conference, John, and when you did in April. And he said, I'll be in the States in June. He's from Canada. And he said, will you be in Michigan? I said, yeah, I'm actually going to be in Michigan. I said, I'm supposed to do this, you know, little documentary, but I don't know anything about it. He said, well, did you know the producer? And I said, I have no idea who's producing it. He said, it's me. So I was really kind of surprised because it ended up in a roundabout way, him meeting me. And I said, so, okay. I said, I was told, you know, you're going to film me for like 15 minutes and break it down to 1 minute. And he's like, no, I want you on it more than that. And I said, well, we'll see. You know, and I don't know. I might be on there for a clip and that's it. So in the meantime, I go to Michigan and met with him, met with my friend. And we went out in the woods. It went really good. I think it went really good. I hope he felt it was good. You know, anytime I've got people that are filming, not that the Bigfoot are ever going to do what I ask them to do, because it doesn't work that way. But I always tell them, you know, you guys, people are filming you. Don't feel that you need to be out standing there getting great pictures. But a little activity would be nice. And they did not disappoint. They were really good. We went in. We're able to pick them up on the night vision. And it was really cool because when I had brought the night vision binoculars, and it was really neat because it wasn't just a shadow. Like, I saw hair moving. I know their chest moving up and down, eyes blinking, full features. It was awesome. And they had thermal cameras, and we learned something really interesting. I assumed, like everybody else, if you take a thermal camera and put them on them because they're in flesh and blood at that time, it's going to pick them up because of their body heat, and it actually does not always do that. And I should have known that. I didn't, because I don't own a thermal cam, so I never tried it. But I asked them, I said, some of them we could get on the thermal cam, no problem. Others, I would look at them with the night vision and have them standing 10 foot from me in the bushes or behind a tree, and we put the thermal on them and couldn't get anything. And I said to them finally, why can't I find your body heat? And they just kept saying, well, because we put our shield up. Now, that's not the first time I've heard them talk about this shield. When I do healing work on them, sometimes it's really easy to do the energy work on them to heal them. Other times it's harder. And when I have those times, I'll say to them, you know, hang on, I'm working on it. It's just harder than it normally is. And they said, oh, our shield is up. We'll bring our shield. And all their shield is an energy bubble. Just like, John, how I, you know, have done energy bubbles. And I've done you. I've done just a ton of people with these protection bubbles. And that's all that is. It's made out of energy. And it deflects even the thermal cam. It's not picking it up. And so we did get some on the thermal, and then we didn't get all of them. We had one, his name is Jarabi, and he started talking to me and said he was there, but so was his family. So kind of like the warning was, I'm here, but if you try to hurt me, know my family's with me. So it was fun because I was able to point out where they were just by reading the energy before they even spoke. And then I would point to it, and they could walk over with the thermal cam. And, you know, most of the time, there's something there. I mean, they got it either on thermal or they heard it walking away. Jason was very fortunate to where one walked down and walked behind this fallen tree, and he got the whole thing on camera where the eye shine was there. You couldn't see the body. You could see the eye shine, and it kept moving back and forth between two trees. And he was very close to it. He was like 10, 15 feet. So that was really, really incredible. I saw the one at first through the night vision, and then I was talked over by where Narabi was at with another guy that was there, and I turned around, and then literally 10 feet behind me was this massive Sasquatch, and I got him on the night vision. I'm like, holy crap. It was like I had already seen the one, and then to see this one that close, and I put it where I could see it right in his face. Like, I could see the hair around his eyes. That particular one had hair all over his whole face. He reminded me of a Wookiee, where the other one looked more gorilla-like as far as the hair on his face. So it was really good. I mean, I think it went well. I hope it went well for them. So they interviewed me, and we went out Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And Friday night, I left Friday night. I was going to stay over the weekend, and they were talking about some other plans they were going to do. And I was tired by then. I'd been out, you know, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and great group of people. Could not have been any nicer to me if they tried. And my friend Chad was there and allowed me to stay in his camper, which was great. And so I left and went to my son's house Friday and visited with him. And then I went to my mom's and sister's and had a reunion, and then back to my other son's for a week. So it was a really good trip. It was great to get out in the woods. I got hold of my friend Lauren while I was in Michigan, and we went back to some of our old spots that we did research in. And the one, there wasn't much going on. Another one we went to, definitely lots of stick structures, evidence they were there. And then we tried a new spot. And this new spot, I'm really anxious when I get moved back to Michigan to hit that place again, because you could hear them walking around us. There were several times that something was walking up near us, because you could smell it, and then all of a sudden you would hear steps, and it would walk away, and you'd look around, and nothing was there. So definitely a lot of activity in there, and it was beautiful in there. It was so peaceful and just really, really nice. It felt so good to get back in the woods. I can't even tell you. It was just amazing. So it was a good trip. We had a lot of fun, but the movie should be out. It's called Searching for Sasquatch Part 6, and it should be on Amazon Prime. It'll be on Tubi TV. I really didn't know much about Tubi TV when he told me about it. I love it. There's so many really good shows on there. Now, I mean, I'm not talking about just the Bigfoot shows. They have a ton of Bigfoot stuff on there, but there's a lot of really good shows on Tubi, and it's all a free streaming service. But it's also on Amazon Prime, and the producer's name is Jason Kenzie, it's his search for Sasquatch, so it's his documentary. He put a little bit of a trailer up today, which kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't prepared for it, and it just said, you know, Mind Speak with Robin Haynes McCrae. So that kind of surprised me, and it was very nice and very kind of him to do that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in September. I'll either, you know, go into hiding for the rest of my life or be happy. Sure, yeah.
Well, I bet you'll be happy.
Robin, did they know you were a Sasquatch magnet?
Yeah, that was why they wanted me there.
I would imagine so.
That was the purpose. My friend Chad is just a super, super sweet guy. He's had a ton of activity, some good, some bad, lots of questions of what he sees. He's definitely dealt with the paranormal side, but it's one of those things where he's dealing with the paranormal side, but trying to rationalize it, but knows it's there. And so we have this great relationship where he flat out tells me, I'm batshit crazy, but you're just batshit crazy enough where you really sound like it's real, and I just want to experience what you're experiencing. So he's just a super guy, very, very open-minded, very kind. I couldn't say enough good things about him. And so he was the reason why I originally went there, and he was the one that brought the producer from Canada back to Michigan to continue with this. It's a series, and this will be the sixth one, and they did one last summer with the people that spoke at the conference in Michigan. I was one of them, and everybody was going across the straits in Michigan, and they were going to film there. I did not go. I was invited to go. I chose not to because I really felt it was important that I spend time with my family there, because my mom's there, my sister, nieces, nephew, some of my children and grandchildren. So I went there instead of filming, but I thought I would be moved back by May of this year, and then I got COVID, and that changed everything. And so when he called and asked me to do this, I was like, sure, no problem. I'll be back in Michigan. He's like, I want to go out in the woods. Let's see what happens when we go out in the woods. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I just didn't realize I wasn't going to be back. So I flew there instead. And him and Jason, they're so funny. Jason and I were in this pickup, and we went back, and there's an area where Chad had a really good encounter. And he's had lots of encounters. I mean, he is definitely legit. Has had lots of stuff go on. He's amazing. And he had put this big jar of peanut butter back there for him. And we pulled into the woods, and he's like, okay, let's get out and check it out. And it was, you know, middle of the night. And I don't have a problem with hiking through the woods in the middle of the night. It doesn't frighten me or bother me, but the bugs were atrocious. Like, you go out in that area. I don't know why it was so bad in that area. They were, like, dive bombing us. It was awful. And I told him, I said, you know what? You guys go right ahead, go out there, get eaten alive. I'm sitting in the truck. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit in the truck and see what happens. So they took off, and they're walking through the woods. And the Bigfoot and the other cryptids like the Tibetan singing bowls. They love the noise that they create and the music they create. And I normally take those with me. I did that in Nebraska, and as soon as I did it, I had a couple of Bigfoot step right out of the bushes where I could see them in plain sight. And I wanted to bring it to Michigan, and I actually left it at home. So I called Pat while I'm sitting in this truck in the middle of the woods, and I'm like, hey, I'm on YouTube. I'm trying to find Tibetan singing bowl music. I'm not having any luck. Find some and send it to me because I need it. He's like, okay. So he found some and sent it to me, and I played it. And right after I did, I had one that came right up off the rear end of the truck and was behind a tree, and it was joined eventually by a second one. And they were just peeking around the tree at me, and I never left the truck. I put it on my phone, and I put my hand out the window, sat it on the roof of the truck, and just let it play the Tibetan bowl chimes and stuff. And they were just there looking around. And so eventually the guys came back and I said, did you see anything? And they said, well, we heard stuff moving around, you know, but we didn't really get any visuals. And I said, I've been sitting here in the truck and they've been over here, you know. So it was just too many mosquitoes. We, you know, we hiked in Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and there was a lot of bugs. In fact, I looked like the Unabomber in the movie because when they filmed me in the woods, I had on a sweatshirt jacket that zipped up and my hood up because the mosquitoes were so bad in there. They were just attacking. So I looked like the Unabomber. I was in a hooded, you know, sweatshirt jacket because it was so bad. The interviews,
right.
I don't
now,
look
now
like
Robin,
that, but in the woods I did.
Robin, I want to interrupt you and tell us a little bit about this music. I've never heard of it.
A Tibetan singing bowl. I actually ran across it several years ago, and I can't remember who it was that told me about it, but I think it was my friend in Pennsylvania. And it's made out of brass, and it sits in the palm of your hand, and you put your palm completely flat, almost to the point where your fingers are bent downward, and you just set this bowl on it. You don't hold it. You just place it there. And then it has this wood wand that you run around the outside of the rim of the singing bowl. And they're made out of brass. I mean, you can get them on Amazon. But
people do. There are a lot of people that do this, and they do it for healing and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually a vibrational noise.
Right.
Is the way I describe it. That may not be really what it is, but that's what it seems to me. And they love it. They love it. Here, I've done it with you before here. And they really enjoy it. They like music to begin with. They're very music-oriented. My daughter used to play her clarinet outside for them all the time, and they'd come out of the woods to listen to it. But they like this Tibetan singing bowl, and when I got ready to leave, I had it out to pack it, and I don't know what possessed me to forget it. But, you know, and when you pull it off of YouTube, all you get are the chimes. You don't get the actual hum when you're doing that circular motion around the rim. That's a whole different thing. You know, they heard the chimes from it, but they didn't get the full impact of it, but it worked because they came out. But it, you know, it went really well. Like you said, I had a really good time. Amazing people. They were extremely kind and allowed me to stay there and had a very good time. So, you know, we'll see how it turns out. I don't know. I know they interviewed several people on this film. I'm not going to say who because it's not my place, but some really good people were in this interview, my friend Chad especially. But, yeah, it was great. It really was. The people that they interviewed were good. So I don't know how much I'm in it. I don't know how little I'm in it. I know the trailer was me, and they were talking about mind speaking with the Sasquatch, which, you know, I'm getting good reviews and bad reviews. And a lot of people have been really positive about it, and I've had two people so far that are like, oh, I can't believe she talks to him. And that's okay. But the thing is these people don't know me. And the people that do know me, that I've mind spoke to the Sasquatch for them, the Sasquatch have given me personal information that there would be no way I would know. And then I tell it or I share it with somebody and they're like, how do you know that? And I'm like, because they told me. So, you know, I know that I'm talking to them. I know that they're giving me information. There was a few years ago that there was a child that was lost and Pat and I were able to help locate him between listening to what the Sasquatch said there and me looking at a map and feeling his energy and pinpointing it. So I know what I do is real, so I'm okay with that. You know, like I said, people don't always have to understand it. They will in time. You know, if they're meant to understand it, they will, I guess is the best way to put it.
Absolutely. They either will or will not understand it. I had an incident. In fact, I told both you and Trey today, and I'll share this with Kyler. A buddy of mine was talking about getting a divorce. And all of a sudden I heard the words, well, he's going to get married right after that. And I told him that. So they went to the divorce attorney on Thursday, and on Friday, a girl that had been friends with him on Facebook for 3 years started talking to him. Now they have a date this Friday night. And he said, John, how did you know that? I said, I just heard it. a birdie told me. I said it was mind speak. Somebody told me. I don't want to go into who it is, but that's what I heard. He said, that is so crazy. I always liked her, and now I've got a date with her. At least I'm in the process of getting divorced, so it's okay. You know, so that's fine. If he's splitting up with the wife, then that's whatever it is. But anyway, yeah, you know, it's just like this mind speak thing is kind of interesting. You just hear things. And Robin, I don't know about you, but sometimes I hate to tell somebody what I hear about them because I don't want to sound like a crazy man. And I think, God, what if it's wrong? But then it's right, you know, and all this stuff. So
yeah,
I mean,
that's the thing. And, you know, I might get a few people that are rude or disrespectful or whatever, but I have so many people that when I do this are like, there's no way. You know, I talked to David Plotties about a case, and I'm not going to get into that case out of respect for the people that it happened to. And even he said, I don't know how you know this, but you're exactly right. And it was not anything that was put on TV. It was simply the Sasquatch there, you know, told me. I mean, what am I going to say? It's not coming from me. It's coming from them. I've had multiple people that I work with, and I work with people outside of our country. I mean, all over, literally. And they will say something. I'll say, well, I'm supposed to tell you this or this. And they're like, you know, how in the world did you know that? And I'm like, I didn't. They just told me that I'm supposed to tell you this. And every time, you know, that's the case, it comes out right. I mean, it's not that I'm doing anything, and I keep telling everybody, they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you can do that. Number one, if I can do it, a trained ape can. But the thing of it is I'm not really doing anything. I'm just a messenger, you know, and I always tell people that I work with, if I don't get anything, I'm going to tell you I don't get anything. Like, I can't promise you anything. You know, I don't take money for this. I don't get paid for this. I do it because I care. I do it because if I can help somebody with a situation, for me to just say no because it's taking too much of my time or whatever, I feel is really horrible. And so, you know, that's why I try to help as many people as I can. But, you know, I had one guy say, well, you know, mental hospitals are a real thing. And I'm thinking, yeah, you might want to go in it. You know, and I wanted to go on there and say, for the record, just because people have said that to me before, I've had two complete psychiatric evaluations. And the one doctor, bless his heart, he was so sweet. I got done talking to him, and he said, well, I'm not going to say that anything, because he said, as far as I'm concerned, he said, I'm believing what you're telling me. He wanted to see the pictures of the Bigfoot, so I showed him the pictures that I had of him, and he thought that was cool. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. My ex-husband, you know, to get at me when we divorced, called protective services and said my ex-wife is crazy. She thinks Bigfoot are alive, and, it's going to hurt the kids and all this stuff. So they came out, and I talked to them, and so they made me go in and meet with somebody, and they said, you're completely fine. You know, we're not finding any problems with you whatsoever. You know, maybe not everybody is going to believe what you believe, but you definitely are fine. And I'm like, thank you. I thought I was too. And so, you know, for those people that say that, they're entitled to their opinion. I think that they live in a world where they don't look outside the box, and they're not ready for what's outside the box. So I just choose, instead of being angry, I don't let it get, I mean, I'm not going to say it doesn't hurt, you know, I'm human, but I don't get angry about it. I feel bad for them that they aren't at a place in their life where they're open enough to see what's really out there, because the life that we've been programmed to believe doesn't exist. And so, you know, for those people, when it's time and when they're mentally ready and capable of it, it'll happen. It's just not now for them, and that's okay.
Right. All right. And at that, we will take a quick break, and I will say thank you, Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation, for keeping us on the air. WLSC and WLSC, AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, Banana Jack's radio station, Banana Jack in the Morning at 7 a.m., and Little Town Big Talk at 10 a.m. every weekday morning with Banana Jack Murphy and Marshall Diddle. And it's a lot of fun. In fact, I'll be on there Friday. They want me to come. They want me to come and be paranormal. I am glad to be paranormal. Right, Robin? You know I am.
Oh, yeah. Whether we want to or not is life.
Right, and so I've got an announcement to make, and then we're going to bring Trey and Tyler. I hope they're still on. Yeah, they're still on. I want to bring them on and have them ask questions because Robin's a good one to talk to you about it. But, Robin, what I will tell you, and I mentioned this to you today, I met with some of the crew of the comedy series Vaughn up in Wilmington this weekend, and they're interested in coming down to the Midlands of South Carolina and doing a little thing with you and me talking, maybe a friend or two of ours. Maybe if Dr. Trey Donaway wants to ride down an hour, we'll have him on this little documentary. So, Dr. Trey, you're certainly welcome to come down if we can get this thing scheduled.
That sounds like fun, John.
I think it will be. So anyway, that's what we're working on right now. We were working on it, and then here came COVID. But anyway, we're back again. So anyway, I'm going to turn the floor over to Tyler and Trey. And Dr. Trey, I'm going to start with you. I know you've got some questions for Robin after all this great experience that she was talking about. So after you, sir.
Well, Robin, here's a question for you. Now, I don't know who else they use as a Sasquatch magnet, but what were they expecting, and were they skeptical at all that Bigfoot are attracted to you, that you would, I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that if you were there as a Bigfoot magnet, you'd get activity. What was their response? Were they surprised? Had they tried this before? And how did your performance or presence affect them?
Well, first of all, the two gentlemen besides the producer, who's Jason, that were there were Ernie and Chad, both of which are extremely, extremely good researchers, have had activity in various places. So they were, you know, they don't need me to do anything, but they were curious what would happen. And Jason has had, you know, activity wherever he's gone. He's been doing these videos. And so I think they probably wanted to see what would happen. You know, I think when Chad and I spoke about it, he's like, I have no doubt activity will happen when you're around, but I just want to see it. I actually want to see what you do. To be honest with you, I don't do anything.
Yeah, you just show up.
I really don't. Yeah. It's not like – the thing of it is I – and this is what I think. I think they had activity the whole time. I don't think they really knew how much they had, because I know Chad is real sensitive to their energy and picks up on it. I don't know if Ernie does or not. He very well might. He might. I'm not going to say he doesn't because I don't know. But they went out there, and they might have felt him around, but nothing was – you know, Jason told me, I didn't ask the other guys, but Jason said they really didn't have any activity before I got there, other than they did get some vocals, which is great. But when we first got there, we drove, because this place is huge, we drove to the back of it, and we could see them walking in the field. Now, that had nothing to do with me. They were just already out there. But when we got in the woods and we went in, I could pick them up because I can feel the energy. So I'm like, there's one over here, there's two over here, there's this. And so at least they had an area to pinpoint. But I really want to stress, these guys are no slouch. They know what they're doing out in the woods. They get good activity. I think it was more they just wanted to see what would happen when I was there.
Right.
I think, really. And I think as far as Jason goes, him and I had some conversations. He knew the basics about me. And I think he just wanted to, you know, kind of feel it out and see what would happen. I don't think it was anything of, you know, that they thought I could do something they couldn't. I think it was, you know, you've got two guys going out in the woods that are legitimate, that have had activity before in various places as well as there. And Chad was real anxious to get me to go out in the woods to see how I handle it in the woods. I thought that a little bit, I mean, I don't just walk through or whatever. I mean, I can pick them up with energy. The only thing that was different this time for me is I brought the night vision, which I don't normally do. I normally just go out and walk in the woods, and I can hear them walking around me or feel their energy or whatever and know where they're at. And so it just worked out good. Like I said, I don't – the bad thing about it is, and I don't know what will be in the film, we didn't get anybody standing out from behind a tree and waving or wanting to, you know, come and sit by the campfire and sing Kumbaya. We got a lot of noises. We got a lot of movement in the trees and in the bushes and the brush and that kind of thing. Jason did get the eyes shine between the trees that he filmed, and he was like, you know, 10 feet from it. And he lost his heart. He kept saying, oh, my gosh, I am shaking, you guys. I can't believe this is happening right now. You know, and so that was cool. The rest of us were just kind of standing there. But as far as Chad goes, he gets activity. He gets it. He doesn't always get good activity, but he gets a lot of activity. And he just wanted to see how I handled myself in the woods. And I think it went okay. Like I said, you know, everybody was safe and everything went well. I think that the shock part came when we went into the woods and the one was mind speaking with me. And I'm like, I said to Ernie, take your thermal over there because he says that's where he's at. And he said, over there? And I said, yeah, I go over there. So he went over there. And again, these are guys that are really good in the woods. They don't need help. They know what they're doing. But he walked over there and used the thermal cam, and then he started running through the bush. And he was like, oh, my gosh, she's right. He's right there. You know, and I think that kind of surprised them more than anything. And then the last day, Jason and Chad and I went out, and this was during the daylight. Those were at night. And we were walking through the woods, and they were telling me things, you know. And we heard a lot of movement wherever they were talking at and saying they were at, and they would walk towards it, and we got a lot of movement. So, I hope it goes well as far as how it's going to go on the show. I have no idea. To my knowledge, he's probably just now started editing. I know he wants to release it in September. We'll see. You know, with a lot of these Bigfoot shows, I wish it could be portrayed as well as it goes when you're shooting, because, you know, what are you going to shoot? The movement, the energy that's going on, the eye shine. So we'll see. I mean, I think it went well. Jason seemed pleased with it. And I hope for the best.
Actually, well, that was my question.
Keep us informed about the release date of the title and all that when you can.
Yeah, I will. I was supposed to send it to the trailer to John, and I never got around to doing it. But, yeah, I will. All I know is this September. So in a few months it'll be out, and it's searching for Sasquatch, the sixth in the series.
That's great.
Well, yeah, and as soon as you send me the trailer, I will post it on Scarycast and put out a little announcement on it so a lot of people can see it.
Okay.
And probably I'll probably put it on Tennessee Bigfoot as well.
Oh, cool. I just think that people are going to have – it's really controversial on this because – when somebody is mind speaking, you can't see them mind speaking. You know what I mean? Because it's in someone's mind. And it does cause a lot of problems because you have half the people aren't going to believe it. The other half are going to believe it. So I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. You know, nobody likes hate coming at them. And I try to avoid a lot of the drama. But it is what it is. I can't change the truth. The truth is the truth. And it's been proven that when I'm mind speaking, as with Pat's really phenomenal at it, we're accurate. I mean, are we the best in the world? I don't believe anybody's the best in the world because I don't believe there's experts. But we do a good job. And the people that we work with that count on us being able to mind speak, we've proven ourselves to them. So I guess that's as good as it's going to get. You know, that's all you can do.
Well, exactly. I'm glad you had a good time. They got some good footage with you as a Sasquatch magnet.
Yeah, it's so funny because, I look like the Unabomber because the bugs were so bad that we literally, are trying to be covered up and everything to get away from them. And then, of course, what do I get out of the woods? Poison ivy. To my knowledge, nobody else did. I'm covered. Like, so glad to be back in Michigan. So
awesome.
I can put up with poison ivy if I can get out in the woods again.
Well, that's good. Kyler, what have you got to ask Robin?
Well, Robin, you were talking about, you just said it. You're like, okay, well, what are you gonna shoot? Like the energy, because you can't see any of this happening.
Yeah,
so
that's really it. And if you look at, I don't care whose documentary, and you look at those things, you don't ever see anything because it's difficult. How do you really get a good picture out of what's going on? You know what I mean? It's hard.
Right.
Now,
and I was curious, do they let you get them on camera, or is that just not something they want out there?
The thing is they believe like Native American traditions of the camera lens steals your soul. That's why they don't like it. And they don't want anything that's going to hurt them. Do I have pictures of them? Yes, I have a lot of pictures of them that I've been very blessed to be able to get. Are they going to let a film crew do it? Not willingly. You know, you see some people that get some good photos of them walking off like they did with the Patterson-Gimlin film. And there are some that are very legitimate, including the Patterson-Gimlin one. But is that something that you can count on? No, it's not as easy as everybody would like it to believe. And you get a lot of people that are like, well, you don't have any photos. And I'm thinking, yeah, I actually have a ton of them. And they're not blob squatches. They're actually, you can tell, John's seen my photos. You can tell what they are. But, you know, people want these clear photos like it's the easiest thing in the world. And I'm like, okay, where are yours? You know,
right,
what
like
are you actively doing?
Yeah, like it's definitely not one of those
things
where you can just say it and it's there.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is too, and I'll be the first to admit it, you know, when they're shooting these documentaries, I worry. I honestly worry because if they come out, the people that are shooting them, like Jason and Chad and Ernie, they are legitimate, wonderful, kind-hearted people that would never hurt them, never hurt them. But that you don't know who's going to watch it and who's going to take that to do. You don't know, you know. And so that's difficult as well. It's always nice if you can get that footage. That is actually, you know, that's your money shot that everybody would like to get. But you know, you get what you get, and I think people, when they watch these documentaries, they're all praying they can see an actual picture of them, and I don't blame them. I have seen them more times than I can count, and every time I see them, it feels like the first time because you're so enthralled in what you're looking at. But I think people need to look at these documentaries, and instead of looking for all these photos that they're not going to see, listen to the information. That's what these documentaries are about. Sharing information, learning from each other. You know, obviously everybody would like to have the clear photos like Patterson and Gimlin had, and we would all love to do all these great things. But the truth of the matter is people don't believe the photos either.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Even if you did see a picture, you probably wouldn't believe it anyway.
No, nobody does. And, you know, the Patterson-Gimlin footage is still being attacked all these years later, and what good did it do to have that photo? You know, and that's a legitimate photo. It's an amazing photo. The Bigfoots don't like her at all, but that photo is 100% legitimate and real. And people don't want to believe it. People don't want to accept it. They don't want anything to do with it. You know, you have your people that do believe it, but there's a lot that don't. So my advice to people when watching any documentary is, instead of looking for these photos, that even if you see them, you're going to debate, is that real? Is it a suit or whatever? Listen to the information, because that's what it comes down to. If you want to get close to these beings, if you want to enjoy being around them, you've got to learn, you know, and there are no experts. I don't care who says they're an expert. There isn't any. We all learn together. We learn from each other. And that's what this movie is about. You know, there's a lot of humor in there. Jason is extremely funny and extremely kind, and he puts humor in everything. So there's going to be a lot of funny places in it. He's got a little clip right now on YouTube talking about been told he's the greatest researcher in the world and everything. And it's a mockery. Mm-hmm. It's not being serious. It's all playful. And this big voice comes down and says, well, who are you? He's just like, he's insignificant. And he gets all hurt and he walks up. And he's just that guy that has this humor about him, which is wonderful and refreshing. But again, if somebody's telling you they're an expert, question everything they do. Because none of us know it all.
Robin, I tell you what, I've got a comment. I've got a story that I don't think I've ever shared with any of you. Mr. Morrison of Morrison Costumes, the largest costume, for Halloween and stuff, the largest costume company in the country. A story came out that he is the one that perpetrated the Patterson and Gimlin footage. Okay? So you know me. I'm liable to do something that's unkind. So I called up, and Mr. Morrison's passed away. And so I talked to his son. I said, you know, I'm Dr. John Stamey, and I do some Bigfoot research. He said, really? I said, yeah, and I saw the story about your dad going out to California with this actor and putting all that on. He said, yes. I said, well, let me ask you this. This is the proof that I would like. I would like receipts from the plane tickets. And he hung up.
The other thing with the whole, you know, it was somebody in the suit is, and this is my own belief, is that after the film was shot and that was over and everybody found out about it, there probably were people trying to put suits together to imitate it, you know, to cash in on that fame. But you're talking in the 60s. There is nowhere out there at that time that could duplicate what is on that film.
That's right.
Okay.
You're 100% right.
Hollywood now, they have the capabilities, they have CGI. All of that comes with a big bank statement. Okay, it's expensive. You're talking about two men that were out there tracking, and this is what went on. You could not have gotten a costume at that date. I don't care what you paid.
Robin, I couldn't even get them to fess up to having receipts for the plane tickets, much less the costumes.
Yeah.
Come on. And so young Mr. Morrison hung up the phone on me, and I don't think he wanted to hear from me again. And I was fine with that. I just think it's very funny. I mean, you know, people can do whatever they want to do, and they will. But that's something that I did. I just did it once. I did it. I was home one afternoon between it going out selling life insurance, and I just got a wild hair, and I said, you know what? I think I'll just cause a little bit of trouble here. I mean, you know, that was a good fraternity name for me, Trouble. Yeah, and it was. So I called it, caused a little trouble. It was funny. And I think that was before I knew you, is that's why I hadn't really discussed it. But, yeah, it was funny. You got the receipts for the plane tickets? Click. And that was it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, it's just kind of interesting. So – I guess what I'd like to do is I would like to do one more round of questions, and I'll even question you, and we can say that we've had a wonderful time talking about talking about your experiences up in Michigan, because I know it's a lot. I know you were having a lot of fun. You answered the phone when you could. Oh, John, it's beautiful up here. John, I can walk out in the field and not worry about getting bitten by a snake. And that was seemed to be the highlight of your trip, is that you could walk out in just regular clothes through a tall grassy field and not get bitten. Is that correct?
The other part was I could get out in the woods with the guys again. I mean, and by guys, I mean the Bigfoot. Because where I'm at right now, and I get a ton of activity here. I mean, I don't have to go anywhere. They're peeking in the windows. They're climbing on the porch. Earlier today, I don't know what it was, but I was in the house, and I have glass panels around my front door. And all I saw was something reddish color through that panel, and it appeared to be 5-6 feet in height on the front porch. And when I saw it, the whole house erupted. All the dogs went crazy and went running towards that door. I mean, it wasn't just I saw it. They reacted, and they were pissed. I mean, they were not the normal just being loud and obnoxious. It was just absolutely insanity going at this door. But I saw what I saw. And Pat and I both went to the front door. There was nothing there. There was no cars in the driveway. There was nobody on the porch, nothing. So whatever it was, and I suspect it was one of them, it jumped off the porch. But the dogs reacted as well. But the whole thing is, before I came to South Carolina, I was out in the middle of the night with these guys, and I would go out there and sit, and they would walk around me, and they'd chatter in their language, or they would mind speak, or they would talk verbally. And this is what I did. So, and I would walk out in the woods every day. That was a big thing to me. That was what I enjoyed doing. So for me to come here, and I've been here in September 5 years, and not be able to just walk out in the woods whenever I want is just indescribable. It's awful. And a lot of people in this state do. And, you know, may God protect them, because where I'm at, I've got a pond across the street. If you go far enough back behind my house, there's another pond, and the swamp is right up the road. You drive down the road and you're watching water moccasins or rattlers go across the road, or there's a copperhead over here. My neighbor's dog next to me got killed by a copperhead. There was a 7-foot rattlesnake going into my bushes 3 years ago and never came on the property. We had a small rattlesnake get under the air conditioning unit, but I mean, it's crazy here. And so I don't even go out. I really and truly don't. And it's great that I get the activity that I do at the house, but I am not one of these people that are content being what I call an armchair researcher, which means you don't go out. You just do research sitting in a chair. That's not me. And so fortunately, they have been kind enough to show themselves in my front yard, or, you know, come up and knock and look in the windows, which we get that a lot. My granddaughter, while I was in Michigan, called me. She was actually here at the house with her dad and grandpa and her aunt. And she called me and she said, "Grandma, I looked out in the front yard and I just saw this Bigfoot walk across the front yard." And I said, "What color was it?" And she said it was either brown or reddish brown. And if she was going to say that, she would just say black. That's what everybody assumes they all are. But no, she could tell me what it looked like, the color of it and everything. She was so excited, you know, but it's like, I'm fortunate that they are as active around the house. I'm still getting interaction. They're still leaving gifts. They're still getting into stuff, you know, and it works. But as much as it works and I'm still interacting, and I love it. Pat got an incredible picture of a dogman from across the road the other night, and you know, I'm very blessed and I'm thankful for it, but you can't beat being able to get out in the woods. You know, I miss it.
Right. Well, we got some dogman stuff coming up on ScaryCast, and I'll let everybody know about that. But that's really cool. And I will say I'm sitting there eating Sunday. No, it was Saturday late lunch. It was about 3 o'clock, and I'm just sitting there. eating, and all of a sudden Bigfoot just comes walking by your window. And I've never jumped so fast. Within 2 seconds, I had the door open and the thing was gone. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, just I saw it, couldn't help it. It was there. So Dr. Trey, we're gonna get you. Now I'm gonna talk Robin. Dr. Trey, I'm gonna talk Robin into making some Key West Sloppy Joes, which I think you are gonna love. And on some Saturday, maybe we can do that when we're trying to film a little bit of our documentary. And I want to get you down there for some of her great cooking and sitting around her dining room table.
And just see who drops by.
That is exactly right. And I'll tell you all this, just so that you know, I have a 7-foot-tall Bigfoot cardboard standee sitting here in my living room. How could I not have a 7-foot-tall cardboard Bigfoot in my living room? How could I not do that?
Where did you get that?
My buddy ordered it off Amazon, and he presented it to me when we did the Charlotte CryptoCon about 4 years ago, and I'd forgotten I had it. And my cousin was just rummaging through all these big cardboard things I got. He said, "What's this?" I said, "Oh my God, let's put him back up." So yeah, I've got a 7-foot Bigfoot standee right here in the living room, watching my door. Nothing's going to come
awesome.
In my door with that bad boy standing there. So anyway, yeah. All right, we'll go with Kyler, and then we'll go with Dr. Trey, and then we'll say thank you to Robin because she's been a great guest. So Kyler, another question, another comment, another whatever from Miss Robin.
I cannot wait to see what they did with all this. I mean, and just the way you're explaining everything that happened, like, I kind of wish I was there. That sounds amazing. So I cannot wait to see this.
Well, thanks. Like I said, we'll see. Like, I was not – my interpretation when I first went there was it's just going to be, you know, I'll be on there for a minute or two. So I can't say how long I'll be on there, how long I won't. I do know Jason said he wanted me on more than what I originally had thought, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be on there a lot. I don't know. When he put it up there, the trailer, I was the only one on it, but I know everybody else is in there as well. So
because
I know Chad
with?
And Ernie got interviewed. What?
How big was the group that you guys all went on this trip with?
Well, when I got there, it was just myself, Chad, Ernie, his girlfriend, Missy, and Jason. So it was just the five of us. And you do much better in the smaller groups. You really actually do. When you bring all these people out there, you just scare them. You're not gaining any ground, to be honest with you. Your smaller groups are better. You don't ever go alone, but... I mean, I know a lot of people do, and I've done it too, and it's not a good thing to do. But, you know, you're smaller groups.
Right. Well, very good. All right, Dr. Trey, we're going to give you the last word before I preview next week's show.
Well, John, all I can say is it's always delightful when Robin is a guest, not just a panelist, because she always has really interesting adventures. And I'm glad you could share us your most recent adventure, Robin.
Oh, thanks.
Well, that absolutely. We're so glad we could have you. Now, John LeMay had a personal thing happen, so he was not able to be with us, but he'll be back the first Monday in August. Now, next week, we've had an A-lister tonight, Miss Robin McCray. We've got another A-lister, a friend of mine. It is Elijah Henderson. His parents were the premier researchers at Land Between the Lakes for about 30 years. Elijah has been out there in the woods at Land Between the Lakes. That's up in southern Kentucky. That is two lakes that were formed by they flooded. And they created the largest peninsula in North America. And I can tell you that there's more dogmen up there. If you ask an experienced person about Land of the Lakes, you'll find out that there have been over 50 people that have been mauled and killed, and there's no explanation for that. That is a dangerous, dangerous territory. And so, Eliza,
you know,
Pardon? Yeah, go ahead, Robin.
I'm sorry. I mean, mine spoke to some of the ones there. The sad part, there's two sad things about it. They've all banded together there, not because they want to hurt people, but because they're trying to get away from people. So then you have two groups of people. You have the ones that don't know anything about cryptids and go there. And then you also have the other group that purposely go there knowing they're there because they'd rather have that kind of interaction than the good interaction. And people get hurt. And people have lost their lives there because these things are not good. They're totally bad there. You know, they hate humans. They don't want anything to do with us, and they just as soon see us dead. But yet people keep flocking there. They don't learn.
That's right. And also, along with Elijah Henderson, he's going to be talking about that. There was a famous murder, I hate to say it, that is associated with Land Between the Lakes. It happened with a group of kids who were all into the vampire thing in the early 90s, and they went down to Florida and murdered two people, two nice people. They bludgeoned them to death with a crowbar. We're going to talk about some of those facts because I actually now have the transcripts of the trial, and I'm one of the few people that knows where to find it online because I spoke with Lake County authorities. And they were just really glad somebody was interested. They said it took a lot of work to get that up there, and they were glad someone was interested. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And I will also read, I have a friend that lived in southern Kentucky before he and his fiancée moved to Portland, Oregon. And believe it or not, one day on the phone he said, "Did I ever tell you I saw a dog man?" And I about swallowed my tongue. I said, "No, you didn't." And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read that important two paragraphs from Evan's story, and it is phenomenal. In fact, he just sent me a text, said, "Hey, we're at the gym doing MMA." I said, "That's great." And what he doesn't know, maybe I'll try to see if he can come on for 5 minutes and tell us the story. That would be great. So next week, a special episode starring Elijah Henderson and maybe my buddy Evan about Dogman and Land Between the Lakes. That is going to be a spectacular episode because Elijah has actually never been on a podcast. So this will be his first podcast, and he's actually going to be, along with Robin, we don't have a date yet, but Robin and Elijah are going to be headlining the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. Later this year, we're going to be doing it online. We're not going to be doing it. It's just with the gas as expensive as it is, we're probably better doing it online. And Robin, you and I will need to discuss the date to make sure it works for you. But anyway, we've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. ScaryCast is always fun, I think. So thanks, Dr. Trey, our Surgeon General. Thanks, Kyler, coming all the way from Houston, and especially the Queen of ScaryCast, Robin McCray. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you next week with Elijah Henderson talking all about Dogman and Land Between the Lakes and murders in Florida. So it can't get any crazier than that. Devin will be back. Devin has moved from L.A. to Pasadena, and he's finishing moving. He will be at his new job in 2 days. So we definitely gave him a hall pass until he was finished. So anyway, thanks to everybody. We're glad to have you here. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern on the one, and there's only one, ScaryCast, especially with a 7-foot tall Bigfoot standing watching us. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night. Good night, guys.